Hello, we're Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and your parts.
That's exactly what we discuss. We also invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
Lover, how are you?
Great. Right before we started going here, we were talking about these Ocean Pacific shorts. I'm going to bring them right back into it because...
Yes.
They're nice corduroy periwinkle. They're the only pair of shorts I own, and they used to be yours.
They did.
They never fit
And they
you.
Used to be Emily's. My
oh,
friend
your dear friend Emily's.
Yeah, and she got them at a thrift store. So those shorts could talk.
They've been around. They used to be Burt Reynolds' shorts before
I think they did.
Emily had them, yeah.
Yeah, and they were long in his day.
They were.
Halfway down that white thigh.
Nowadays, all these kids wearing shirts down past the knees, and it's... Where are those gams, fellas? Let's get them out and about.
You know a fellow who has gams?
Oh, yes, I sure do.
You know this actor and comedian and freestyle rapper. He's shaking his thing all over MTV. You can see him on Geico, joking off in his new MTV2 show, Not Exactly News, which premieres tonight, guys. It's Wednesday. Check it out.
Watch it. You can also catch him performing live on Mod Night right here at the UCB Theater with his sketch team, One Idiot. And if you're lucky, he'll throw you a fiesta complete with Bud Light Limeritas during a commercial break of your favorite TV show.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for an intro, Mr. David Charles Ebert?
Oh, thank you.
When we use the middle name, I want to clap.
That's great. Yeah, that might be the nicest introduction I've ever gotten in
it
my
was
life.
Pretty good.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We want to intro hard. We like to intro hard and fast.
I really appreciate that.
We appreciate you coming and hanging out with us.
Can I tell you how flattered I am that I'm here with you guys?
Of course.
I like you two as a couple very much. And my wife and I talk about you. As a couple, and we're just sitting around the apartment, we'll be like, you know who's cool? No joke.
That's nice.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
What about his individuals?
Oh, garbage as individuals.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
sum of the parts, I think, is what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Here. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Basically
that.
Useless separate from each other.
Well, thank you for that. And we also appreciate you coming straight from the beach to join us today.
Oh,
not
I
only
feel
do
great.
You look and feel like you have this radiance about you, I feel like we're just
yes.
we were just dumpy indoor people all day today and you come smelling like the beach.
I know, you know, that's the only downside is that I'm covered in salt and anything I had on me to prevent myself from smelling bad has been washed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm natural.
Natural pheromones, which
yeah. like that.
We appreciate that cuz people don't do it often enough. It's all about Old Spice nowadays.
Well, we wanted to get you something refreshing after your beach jaunt. Mm-hmm. So we asked you what you wanted to drink for a wine and dine.
We love to try to be a classy podcast and mm-hmm. get people, you know, whatever beverage of choice they enjoy. And Dave Ebert asked for some cold brew coffee.
Some cold black coffee.
Yeah, sure did.
Perfect, because it's hot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's, I mean, we're drinking hot coffee on a hot day. I see people do that, and I question their humanity. I don't know what the fuck they're getting into.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a sexy beverage? Does this get your peen hard?
Coffee?
I'll take that.
I like to wake up in the morning, and I'm like, you know what I don't have? A boner. And
coffee.
So I go, and I get a hot coffee. No, I look at coffee and I look at beverages as empty calories in life. Like, how much have I ever enjoyed a beverage? I've enjoyed a cheeseburger much more.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I almost don't have anything. I don't drink juice or, like, milk or any. I just drink coffee and water, and I take my coffee black.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I drink black coffee, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean about beverages, but I think alcohol would be my downfall for that. Because I don't like sweet crap. I don't drink soda or milk mm-hmm. or whatever, but I do drink anything alcoholic.
Yeah. That's my downfall, too, is alcohol. And it's because I never – I guess I do have just a beer, but, like, you know.
You drink to get drunk. I do. I don't want to put that on you.
And
but.
when you drink to get drunk, then you also have to eat. It's just – and I kind of have
to – get sober.
Drink to get drunk, eat to get sober.
I'm just at a point in my life where I'm not even trying to lose weight. I'm just trying to maintain. I'm trying not to balloon,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
Because, like, people through life, they go – I don't want to be that guy that bloats – And then gets real skinny right before he dies.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. No, that guy is.
Oh, God. And
he scares everybody.
Sick.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, well, he's on his last legs. He's been fat for so many years, and now we can't even get a good hug in with him because he's brittle bones.
Yeah. Can I talk about Vincent D'Onofrio in Jurassic World?
You were surprised by the beef.
Because I hadn't seen him fat yet.
Vinny around town. And
I could
beefed.
Barely recognize him. He looked so fat.
Oh, yeah. Vinny has just been waiting to be a fat guy his whole life.
He was fighting it
for many years, I think.
That's the thing, is he's the network's Full Metal Jacket fat guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Just right. waiting to be that guy all the time.
You're
and
absolutely
so he
right.
slimmed down for a little while for Hollywood, and then when he didn't have to anymore, after he did Criminal Intent, and he was set.
Yep. Once he had those chops, and they're like, we're going to hire D'Onofrio
you
no matter
what,
he
though?
Said, fuck it, I'm going to be my natural beef.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When I was getting physical therapy on my sprained ankle when I crashed my bike, mm-hmm. he was also getting it Tuesdays and Thursdays at the same place. So he's a celebrity that I saw in person 2 days a week for like 3 months.
Yes.
So
this
I
was
think
years
that
ago,
that
right?
was like burned into my brain more than just like, oh, I saw him on a show, and he like looked different.
Yeah. Oh, so it's you almost know? Like you saw a friend get fat.
Yeah. 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 It was like seeing a dear friend just, you know, double.
Just double.
That's always hard because you just can't say anything, but you both know.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Wow, there's twice as much of you, but I guess we can't acknowledge it.
No, more thuggin' for the lovin'. I was trying to do like a cushion for the pushin' with a friend.
Thuggin' for the lovin'. I'm down with that.
Huggin' for the lovin'. I'm going to come back to that.
Ba-da-ba. I think the thing is, too, is you get no one will say when it's a friend because when you're fat, when you get slender, everyone says it.
Everyone
I had people
saying,
who I'm barely
great.
Acquaintances with when I lost some weight that would immediately comment on how skinny. It's like,
love
you lost weight.
I commented.
You did. I remember that.
Yeah.
And it feels...
I commented.
You did.
I was like, are you even on top of me?
I know. And I was like floating above
like a
you.
Feather.
And then well, I was like, did my dick lose weight as well? And you're like, are you on top of me? Are you inside
are
me?
Are you inside me?
What's happening? Oh, go sex.
I always say it when I get fat, because I get fat every winter, and mm-hmm. I'm like perfectly fine with it, mm-hmm. but so that no one feels like they weird. Mm-hmm. I just walk in, I'm like, hey, I'm fat. Everyone's like, great.
It's wintertime.
Yeah.
You know, I've put on a little layer for heat.
Oh, you have to or you freeze to death.
And I know. That's what D'Onofrio had, just a long winter is what I like to say.
Yeah.
And then he...
Filming in Costa Rica.
Oh, man. He looked great, though. And I actually totally... It's so funny because I totally forgot about the young, pudgy, Full Metal Jacket D'Onofrio. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where he started.
Snowball.
Yep. The networks fucking got a hold of them. I'm like, networks, we know you're going to make the women be skinny, but now you're making the men be skinny, too. This
oh,
is outrageous.
Man. Are you kidding me?
Bring networks, it on.
Networks make everybody get skinny. And you know what? I'm not entirely opposed to that. Like, as an actor,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The call's going to come in where it's like, hey, Ebert, you got to get skinnier.
Yep.
That's not a bad thing for my life.
Healthier, as long as it's a healthy look.
Yeah.
Would
yeah.
you get a, but what about getting fat for a role?
Oh, I'd get fat for a role in a heartbeat.
You go Big Mama's
yeah,
house on
I would
that,
love that
immediately.
I've always wanted to drink a pint of Ben & Jerry's.
Yes.
Oh.
I want to know what it's like.
Melt that down. Well, the bodega last night near our house, the freezer was broken, so I went to grab a pint of Ben & Jerry's, and it was liquid.
Oh.
I should have just fucking beer bonged it.
You just don't know, though, the bacteria.
Floating around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I read one fun coffee fact you put on this note card before we move on?
Please do. Is it the Mayan civilization? Yes.
The Mayans used to grind up coffee beans and stuff them in their pee holes for an extra boost.
I just instantly pictured some super hip coffee shop.
Yes. Yes, in Brooklyn, saying,
we've got a clover machine, we've got a cold press. And... Mm-hmm.
You want to order a large Mayan? Open up your pee hole.
Yeah.
We'll ground it up right into the pee hole.
Some kid with like a long beard and like dressed like a newsie.
Yep.
Just puts a little forcep in your pee hole.
Oh, funnels in some fresh grounds. Yes. Yes, please. Well, the Mayans knew. You know, they knew. They knew what it gave them. No, Haas shakes his head.
I think we just figured out their downfall.
Yeah, that was how they fizzled. Just another quick thing about coffee, too, to think about, and I think this is an interesting food for thought, is an afternoon coffee date, let's say. You know, you're going on a first date. You say, well, let's go to a cafe and have a coffee in the middle of the afternoon versus let's go to a bar at night, have some booze, and get drunk.
Like you up?
It's more intimate, I think, to do mm-hmm. the daytime like coffee date. Because it feels like more of a friend thing you would do. Or
yeah. If you invite somebody out for drinks... as a date, the only thing in my head, if you're an interesting person, if you're a boring person, you need to do it because, like, music can cover up the fact that you have nothing to say.
Yes.
But if you're an interesting person, you're doing that, your only end game is sex.
Yes.
It's very transparent.
Yep.
So a coffee date is like, well, you know, the other aspects of you.
Let's get to know each other a little bit.
You really have chemistry if the coffee date ends in sex.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, an afternoon delight.
Well, you've already seen their pee hole.
Yeah. Yeah, you just watched them get coffee grounds shoveled into their genitals. So, yeah, that's an intimate.
Oh. I like that. The coffee. You're a married man.
Yeah, I am.
Did you meet over Java?
No.
Java's the worst.
That's the name of that fucking coffee shop in Brooklyn, though. Meat over Java.
And the meat is the dong.
Yep. Yeah, I remember I saw her on campus and I was like, hey, you ever want to grab a cup of Java? And she clapped her head and she went, ooh, I love Java.
Irresistible.
What campus is this?
Coffee U.
Oh, God. I'll tell you the real story. I met her in college. We went to SUNY Fredonia. We both ended up playing Capture the Flag at the same time on the same team, which won.
And she captured your heart?
None. No. That's just how we met. That's it. Yeah. No, and then we became good friends, and I was dating another girl for like 2 years, and I was just best friends with my now wife, and then I woke up one morning and realized that I didn't want to have babies with the girl I was dating. And I was like, I don't want to waste our pretty years. So I broke it off right then.
That's perfect.
Bought a one-way ticket. No. It was a long-distance relationship.
Oh.
So I flew out to her, broke up with her, flew back.
That's nice to do it in person.
Did the face-to-face, yeah.
Yeah. And then my now wife was like, well, I love you. I've always loved you. And I was like, great. I love you, too. And that's
see,
it.
Isn't
that's
it fucking, nice. See, and we've had this conversation before, but obviously we're on the page of, like, best friends then into the, isn't that, like, I can't imagine that that's not the best route to take.
The most messed up thing I remember is that when I started dating the girl before my wife, we hooked up at working at a summer stock theater, and I was working in the box office with this, this 40-year-old black woman who's just so wonderful. I love her. Her name's Michelle Egerton. And she's like,
shout out to Michelle.
Shout out to Michelle. She was like, you gotta be friends first. You
Ooh,
gotta be
she
friends.
Knew.
Michelle fucking
and
knew. She's 40. She's experienced. She gets it.
But I was offended because I was like, well, I wasn't friends first with the girl I'm dating.
Mm-hmm.
Messed up of you to say. But she was exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, because it is, it's definitely, we almost fought it at first even, because we were friends, and then we're like, there's a little of attraction, but of course, then you're eventually like, let's just go, let's go, go, go. Let me hover above you like a ghost when I'm a skinny little mini.
You know why friends is so important is that it's your best friend. It's the
yes.
person you like spending the time with the most.
The most time with you.
Also, you enjoy rubbing genitals together.
Yes.
It's a bonus.
It's the bonus.
And it keeps you from being that couple where you're like, the wife won't let me wear sacks. And you're like,
yep.
Let you? Like, who
I
are
wear
you?
Sacks.
I hate that.
That's the worst, isn't it?
No,
it's
terrible.
The worst when people, and I'm sure as you know, since you and your wife are actual friends, when people try to just pull you into that casually and they want to do the thing where it's like, oh, the wife.
Other dudes.
And you're always forced to just make it a little awkward when you're like, no, my wife's cool.
Yeah.
We're friends. She doesn't tell me to not do things. I don't know what.
I gotta.
But there's all. Yeah, it's just that like cliched. And then sometimes even the dudes will just be like, no, I don't know. I just thought that was like the thing you said.
Yeah.
Like, no, it doesn't have to be. I don't know.
Yeah, because my wife is cool as hell. And
yes, she
so,
is.
Like, more often than not, people like my wife better than me, which is totally understandable. I like my wife better than me. She's like cool to be. So people, and there's the thing. I was talking about this with her. There's a thing about me that people, like my life's really good. So I'm an easy target because I make myself a target. So people just like strangers who've never met me will just rip me open. They'll say
what?
The meanest things to me.
Like what?
This barber I have. Every time I go in, he pulls my hair back. And he's like, you're losing even more. He doesn't talk that way with anyone else.
Just pointing out any flaw you possibly see.
And so, like, when people meet me and my wife, they'll, like, be like, bring your wife around because you suck. And it's just okay. It's like a funny joke.
Your wife is really cool, though, to be fair.
You got
to
a good wife.
She is.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's ultimately, though, it is best to be, just because I think you, if you know someone really well first, rather than fuck first, ask questions later, which is great when you're younger. But if you're trying to settle down and have a serious situation, sometimes those skeletons come out and you don't know what you got yourself
hard.
Into.
Then they're like, oh, I'm a crazy cult, whatever. And you're like, whoops.
And you're like, oh, man, I didn't realize I was dating David Koresh.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that's a very topical reference to. There's so many cults.
Time machine.
Ooh, we're going back to Waco, 1990 something.
Texas, here we go. Screaming rabbits and chosen partners. What?
Let's choose our partners in a little number we call sexy science, huh? What do we do here?
We rip articles from the headlines.
We sure do. This one comes to us from Gawker, and the title of this article is Serial Horse Fucker Breaks Leg Trying to Fuck Horse. Yeah, all right.
So a Texas man who was twice arrested in 2013 for having sex with a horse named Nadia has apparently struck again.
That's right. Mr. Cirilo Castillo was found in the same barn he was ordered to stay away from with a broken leg. He'd been kicked by a horse he was trying to rape.
And apparently,
we were processing what was just, there was a lot thrown at him in the last 30 seconds.
Apparently he can't be charged with bestiality because it's not officially a crime in Texas.
Of course it's not.
But he was already on.
Oh, you like you can't, you like can't get abortions in Texas.
Yeah. So of course it's like fine to fuck whatever moves, especially if it's the opposite species. Because then you don't have to break the law by having an abortion.
They're like, you're having this horse.
Yes. It is an act of God. There is no choice when it comes to birthing a horse.
Oh, man. It's just that you know that legislation has been brought up and they've been like, no, of course we can't pass this.
Yeah.
Half of my constituents have sex with horses.
They're like, can't we just say it's frowned upon?
This will ruin my campaign.
Well, yeah. And also, you can, if somebody's trying to fuck your horse, you can shoot them. They're on your property in
Texas.
That's
right. So there's so many laws to balance with this in Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great. This is like the juggling act. This is the Jenga of law enforcement here with this. Also, the same horse.
Nadia.
Was he in love with Nadia?
That's what my
love,
brain's trying
lust?
To wrap around, is that it's not like he fucks horses.
Right.
It's that he fucks Nadia.
A
he fucks horse.
And when they say...
He fucks horse.
And I it makes
Mare.
Me really question the rape allegation.
Well, yeah. Could it have not been consensual? Was it just rough sex gone raw? Because we've all had, you know... A couple of rough sex. Maybe she was just kicking around like horses do.
Oh.
Maybe she wasn't saying no, no, no. She was just like, let's get a little rough.
It does change things. I'm still anti because animals
you
can't
refuse
consent.
To accept that animals can consent. They can.
But the fact that it's the same horse does make it interesting.
Yes. Well, he's clearly
But wait, let me say this about animals consenting. Isn't it that they also can't consent with other animals? Like, there's just no concept of consent in the animal kingdom?
Right, but I think there's a thing with species being like a more... developed brain-wise that
right.
you're taking advantage.
Because we know right and wrong.
Well, I mean, we know what consent is. So us being like, oh, you didn't need consent from that other goat, so I can fuck you, isn't like very
but
nice.
But how about this, though, is if you... I love that Haas has heard this conversation many a time.
So many times.
I just want to convert you, Diana, someday. How about this, though, at least? I just thought of this, actually. If you can give pleasure, animals can experience pleasure through intercourse. Yes, the sensors go off. The science suggests they will. That some species.
Some animals, yeah.
Horses, yes.
Mammals, yeah.
Horses, yes. So you're having sex with a horse, and you are giving them pleasure.
With your tiny ass dick, horse dicks are huge. There's no way you're giving a horse pleasure.
That's I can use a fist.
That's an assumption on your part.
That you don't have a 4-foot dick.
Motion
no,
in the ocean.
It's an assumption on your part that your penis can't provide a horse pleasure.
You're right, but I mean, okay, here's something, though.
Hey, if you ain't licking this, you ain't sticking this. What if you get down there with the tongue and the teeth and the lips?
I mean, there's got to be a horse clitoris.
There's definitely a horse clitoris.
All right, listen. Will you look up if there's a horse clitoris?
Haas, can we see it? Can we see a horse clitoris?
This is
reality check. You're saying if there's a sign of pleasure, then it's not rape, but people have... gotten wet or gotten boners in situations of sexual assault
or abuse.
That was
only half of what I was going to say.
No,
yes.
But I just mean I do not think that stands as an indication.
No. You're right. Not in and of itself. But combine that with the fact that if the animal returns and it wants to...
Let me tell you this. If Nadia had busted out of that farm and went to that jail and visited him, I'd be like, they're in love.
Ooh.
But that's a whole awareness of where they took him and everything. Like,
yeah. How is she going to show up at the
courthouse?
Exactly.
She doesn't have the awareness.
Right.
So she's not in love with him.
But that's not the thing is, like, you're saying they can't consent, but my thing is, like, does that mean necessarily that it's dissent? Like, could it just be she doesn't care? Is there a neutrality?
I think somebody doing something to your body, an animal with, like, any, like, a sentient being would have an opinion.
Right.
Like, they've been domesticated, so they're used to being handled, but I still think they'd prefer not to be.
That's the other thing. Would you rather get filled up and have an orgasm, or would
filled
you rather pull
a
goddamn
dick?
Cart around through Central Park?
No, that's...
that's despicable.
If I was a horse, I would definitely take one guy banging me over being a Central Park.
That's like saying, would you rather be a factory worker or a prostitute? And you're like, wait, what if I want to be a teacher?
Whoa, slow
well,
down,
don't
horsey.
Get choices.
Slow your roll, horsey.
If a horse can consent to sex, a horse can be a teacher.
I'll live in that country. Let's do it.
It's called Texas.
You're describing Texas, yeah.
That's true. Oh, they can teach at least pre-K.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, well, you know.
Well, I'm glad you have someone else on your animal sex army.
Yes.
No, I don't think Eber that's
was kind of,
where
he
I
was,
am.
You're
for us or against us?
He's entertaining the idea. This is Texas. You're either for us or against us.
What it is that catches me up in this is that this is the thing that I have. I have a dog, and my wife projects human emotions onto the dog. Now, I think he's capable of some level of emotions. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's capable of the human emotions we project on him.
No.
The
like
wants and desires and needs. And so I think that this...
Blowjobs is not an emotion.
This whole conversation about consent with animals is us projecting both the concept of consent and dissent and, you know, permissions that just don't exist in the animal world. No, there's no such thing in most cases in the animal world of consensual sex. It's all just crazy animal rape.
Breeding.
That's actually not true, though. There's species like penguins and stuff where I'm just saying they find each other. It's not just the guy running up and ramming it in, which it is for like some animals.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying
so you
most
fuck a penguin.
Species. There's different mating rituals for every different species.
My thing is if we don't know, if we're not positive, if you can't get into a horse's brain, then the safest thing to me is to not horse fuck.
I know. I say if you can't get into a horse's brain, get into its vagine or anus. The thing is about dolphins is they do rape also. So dolphins,
well,
some
smarter
species.
Animals fight
primates.
For,
what about primates?
Fuck for pleasure.
What's the closest? Because let's even just start there. Since you
closest to human?
Is an orangutan. But the bonobos. And the bonobos have
used to
outrageous sexual habits.
Changed.
Yes.
Yeah. Bonobos solve all their conflicts through sex.
Yes, they do. They bonobos engage in prostitution. They will give sugarcane. A female bonobo will receive sugarcane from a male bonobo for sex.
And a dolphin will rape a manatee.
Yes.
So that's cross species.
And also bonobos will... they'll fuck frogs. They'll take a frog and jam... their dick
just
in
like
a frog.
Like a tinga sleeve, just like a fuck sleeve, like a fleshlight.
Yeah, that's exactly.
A froggy fleshlight.
I mean, they do it like they would with a mango.
A perfectly good piece of fruit when you can fuck a frog?
Right. That's it. If there's a frog and a
fuck
mango.
Fuck the frog, eat the mango.
And I think that's the difference between us and bonobos is we'd fuck the mango before the frog.
Interesting.
I think so.
I think you would because you feel like the mango has no soul.
Haz, were you?
I've got some horse clitoris facts.
Great. Beautiful.
Okay, so the vagina of a mare is 15 to 20 centimeters long. Okay.
That's a decent size.
That's a good size.
It's like 9 inches.
Mm-hmm. And it says that it does have a clitoris and two labia.
Majora minora?
Here's the other thing. I don't know a lot about vaginas.
Yeah, because
I had to actually start looking up these terms.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know what exactly
it is. Two labia.
I think, yeah.
You don't know what a labia is?
Explain it to me.
It's like a skin curtain.
Oh, sure. So they got two of those.
Great.
They draw the curtains.
You know, 9 inches is actually, I mean, believable that a human could have.
Yep.
Well, what's interesting, though, is I think that the angle they're coming from, you need a longer, because I've seen a horse stick, and they're like 2 feet long.
Because they're so far away.
Yes.
Well, because I think from coming down on the angle, like, I don't think, I wonder how a human would have to be positioned to put your whole dick inside a horse.
I think just directly behind.
I don't think the cooter's right there.
It is.
It's under.
It's not.
I think it's because they position and go up. It's not far from the anus.
So here's my trump card. I grew up on a horse farm. And my my mom one day was like, "Oh, look out. The horse is winking at us." And I looked out and our female horse was backwards to us, had her tail up, and her vagina was winking, like contracting. And
did I was you like, take that as flirting?
And I was like, Mom, I mean, why would you show me
that? I would say, you know,
it actually is, it's her being like, I'm in heat, like, come.
Right.
Yes.
So what if she was doing that to this?
Hello.
Eber just threw his microphone.
Eber got hot and bothered.
I got so mad.
That's not the first nor last time that will happen in this studio.
I was so excited at proving consent.
No, I think you do get the trump card for growing up in a horse farm.
I think so, too. I also will say that, of course, there's always there's gender roles that play a part in this. So I think that there's, as there is with anything, and I think that it's like what you said. I think you would say even if an animal went to do that. So, like, obviously, like, backing up on, like, you know, the vagina winked at you. It was maybe flirtatious. The tail went up. She was in heat. She was looking for something. But I would also say that in the reverse those genders, and if a male horse was aroused and just, let's say you were a human woman and you were hanging out naked in the stable and a male horse just came up and was just... You're saying that you should, and just started trying to fuck you. You would say that you should, as the dominant species, which I'm saying we're all just out there trying to find a warm hole. You that it could happen, and you should say you should stop it, even if the horse is the one initiating the contact.
Yeah, I would say A, that'll kill you.
I've seen it happen, and I've seen survival.
Yeah, and also I think people have gotten boners before, and they're not trying to fuck everyone in the room.
True.
So I think using that as an initiating indicator the gets contact? You into a slippery slope.
Initiating the contact, though?
Oh, also there's a job, like an actual job of collecting horse semen. So, like, as far as girl horses go, there's not too much, like, penetration and sex stuff that happens to them. But guy horses?
Well, not with breeding.
They get tugged all the time.
You get tugged
constantly.
But in
the wild, they would bone.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about humans.
Right.
Humans tug horses all the time.
Yeah, I saw something
Kentucky Derby is nothing
but a tug
fest. The
Daily Show about jerking pigs off.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Like, they're just gathering semen for breeding.
They also make, like, this electrical thing that does it automatically. Like, you just touch the, like,
prostate, yeah.
Shoots right out.
I want one of those just to try out.
Ben, I think you should take the rest of the time to just learn about vaginas online.
I think so, yeah, apparently, because I was just completely lost.
Like, hold on, labia, what's this in the horse kingdom?
Is that part of the, yeah, okay. But I did do a conversion, and I found out that their vaginas are 5 to 7 inches long and are quite elastic. So I just wanted to let
the
you
elasticity.
Know.
Elasticity.
I like the professor that's like, they're 5 to 7 inches, but they're quite elastic.
How did you test the elasticity, professor? Well, I had consensual sex.
Very carefully. All right.
Well,
all right.
I'm glad we solved that.
Let's table the debate. We're going to come back to this. We're
going to
have a part two on horse fucking.
We sure are. But for now, human species need some help. Ebert, they approach us on the train. They tweet at us. They want some advice. So please help us out. Help us help them.
Great.
In a little number we call listener love.
Listener mailbag.
All right. Well, Haz is going to read us some questions, and we're going to give some good advice.
Our first question is from Lewis in Philadelphia via our email, menageatrois.radio.com. Lewis inquires, I used to do so much cocaine during lovemaking sessions, but now it makes my dick soft. What the hell happened?
But, I mean, you're playing with fire. I feel like drugs eventually lower your, you know, your serotonin and all that.
I don't think of cocaine as a fuck drug. Think of it as like a dance drug.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like his problems are solved already, right? Because like,
yeah,
now he just doesn't need to do drugs, specifically cocaine, and he can keep having an erection.
Yes.
Right.
So it sounds like he's saving money.
Yep.
Yeah, Lewis, you're in a way better
saving
place.
Saving your heart. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saving his nose.
Yep.
That septum can grow back over time.
to speak.
That's how that works, right?
I'll buy it. I bought it immediately.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
But to speak to his actual thing, I'd say that as a man, I noticed that as I pass through time, my body changes and mm-hmm. things that like worked for me in the past don't anymore, and the new things are exciting to me. You know, when I was a teenager, I didn't like the taste of mushrooms, and now I like it on my salad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the same with onions.
Yeah.
Used to hate onions. Now I like them.
Right. And just in the last 2 years, I've really started to appreciate butts more.
Oh.
Right.
Was a hard boob man for years, and now, like, butts are cool.
Coming around on those
is
butts.
Is this on a salad still?
Yeah, still on a salad.
Kale and butts, please. with a little vinaigrette on there. Yeah, I think that's true though. I think
definitely.
Maybe when you're younger, you're partying hard, you bunch of cocaine, it's all a fury. It's all just like maybe now you've slowed down a little. You're looking for more tender love.
Yeah.
Either switch your drug to a more slowed down, maybe a little opiates, maybe pop some Percocet and have sex, or just have sober sex.
Yeah. You know,
I'd lean towards Percocet sex, but that's me.
I think what's nice about doing it sober is that you get out of your head and you communicate with them.
Yep.
I think that doing it on drugs is okay sometimes, but it's really masturbatory.
It's at a distance.
Yeah, ask Nadia what she wants.
Boom.
Nadia the horse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Ebert's right. I think you just evolve with your body. Listen to your physical cues.
Definitely. And show up at Stable 54. And with wow, that was a reach. I reached out to the sky for that one.
All right. What else
do we have?
Yes. So our second question is from Melanie via our Facebook page, Ménage à Trois Radio. Melanie asks, my in-laws hate me since I'm not Greek Orthodox. Can I tell them to fuck off?
You can.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to. America. You're free.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a bad idea.
If you want to marry the in-laws, they are married. Yeah, unless you want maybe a divorce potentially.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance between standing up for yourself and not creating a shittier holiday situation.
Yeah, and those Greek Orthodox holidays are special. What are they, Hans?
Anything about? Yeah, what are the Greek Orthodox holidays, Hans?
Oh, sure. There's the one.
Labia.
There's the menorah and the majora.
The menorah is something else. God, we're smart.
I think the uterus comes around every spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Eddie brings gifts.
Right. Yeah.
Mr. Uterus is here with his gifts. Yeah, sit on his lap.
I believe that Mr. Uterus comes
Mr.
by.
Mr. Uterus He's also, yeah. Not Mrs. Uterus.
It's Greek Orthodox.
Yes, of course.
Every part of the body is male personified.
The men handle the gifts.
And there's pita for all. I believe that's how it works.
Pita for all.
Pita for all. Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think if you want to keep it together, maybe not just a straight fuck off.
Yeah, if you want some practical life advice, I'll say that you are starting a new life and a new family with your husband or wife. I don't know. And if that's the case, your religious decisions are not going to be the same as the in-laws. And you just got to be proud of your life, you know? Screw them.
Yep.
But don't tell them that, because that's just going to make things difficult. I live very differently from the way my parents would like me to live,
mm-hmm.
as far as religion goes. But I have a great life. And that's all I have to answer for.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. I think that's the other thing. We don't know the full situation. Is your partner very into the Greek Orthodox
culture? It doesn't sound like it.
No.
It doesn't sound like it's a clash within the marriage.
It's just an in-laws thing, yeah.
I think you just have to smile and nod and every once in a while maybe like have a few too many wines and say what you really think in a joking way and then excuse yourself.
That's good advice. That's practical advice.
I think you're right, though.
Yeah.
Just do your own thing.
Do your own thing. And then when you have kids, it's like, if you guys would like to continue to be assholes about religion, I hope you like getting pictures of the kids, and that's it.
Boom.
Because
let me tell you something. Yeah, holding the grandkids hostage, that's a great
powerful.
Way to... Oh, yeah. Because every grandparent wants their grandbabies. They
of course
all
they
want
do.
Them.
They and if you them. Keep them away, say, hey, be a little lax with your religion, and we'll bring these kids around. Otherwise...
Oh, they drop it right away.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Lastly, Carolyn T. hit us up on Twitter at Menage Radio. Carolyn T. tweets, I'm 7 months pregnant, and my husband and I still can't agree on a name for the baby. It's our first, and I'm the one who's been carrying the little bastard around. So shouldn't I get to name him?
Whoa.
Hmm.
I feel like we've gotten something similar to this before.
Just about baby names?
Yeah.
I mean, I would just say generally, unless it's a terrible... I would say that I don't think I would marry someone who would name a child something terrible, number one. So I trust my own...
Oh, no.
You not name him Turd. Turd Kolsky. I would say...
Turd Kolsky is my father.
Well, yeah, keep it in the Turd Kolsky Jr. I think that Yeah, I think you would just want to trust your partner's judgment to say that, like, yeah, it's just... It's not that big of a deal. Because I fall under the umbrella of... Names are, unless they're extreme, names are generally just fine.
I think the issue here, though, is like whether it should be compromise or whether because the woman is carrying the child, if she gets to decide.
I give like in Shark Tank lingo, I would guess I would say because you're carrying the child around, it's like a 51% share of the investment versus a 49%. So you can hear it out, you know, we can talk, but at the end of the day, because the decision has to be, there's only two people. Either flip a coin or rock, paper, scissor, or you have someone.
Well, they're not specifying gender either. So maybe it's like, I'll pick the guy's name.
Before you even know the gender. Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to.
That's the system.
That's the baby, rock, paper, scissor.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, 50-50. Whatever the gender is.
Interesting. You want to know how I think love works?
Yes, please.
I think.
That's why we brought you here today, Dave.
I think that. Let me tell you guys how love works. I think that you say to your partner, you say, I love you, and you whatever name you want to name this kid, you know, this I'm telling you what I would like to name the kid, but whatever name you want to name this kid, it's our kid. I don't care if it's Turd Kolsky, I'll love this child. And then you really mean that. You really let it go. You can't say you let it go and then 10 years later be like, well, I didn't want to name him Turd Kolsky, and now elementary school is terrible for Turd, you know? You really have to honestly, because there's times, right, with me and my wife that, like, I have to make a decision where I'm like, do I really care about this thing? Okay, then I actually have to let it go because if I
pick
hold on
battles.
To it a little
battles,
bit.
Yep.
But it's not even picking your battles where it's like, I lose today, but I'll never forget this battle I lost. It's
right.
Like, you really have to be cool. Like, in our relationship, I hate doing the dishes. I hate doing the dishes so much. When I was growing up, my parents forced me to do the dishes. Like, even when I was sick, I had these Oliver Twist
That's
memories.
That's not sanitary.
It wasn't.
I'm
Didn't
also
matter.
Bad at doing the dishes.
But my wife hates it more, so I do the dishes.
Mm.
And I'm cool with it. And I'm genuinely cool with it. I mean, someday I'll have a dishwasher. But, like, I had
His
to
name will be
decision.
Turd Kolsky. Your dishwasher, that is. Also, I love that people are protective of baby names. Like, couples will be like, we don't want to share, so don't steal Turd Kolsky just in case we do want to go with Turd Kolsky.
Yeah.
You know, people are, like, when you ask people, you're like, you know what you're going to name your kid, but people won't float it out there.
Oh, no, you never say the real name.
No. You give a decoy.
Decoy Turd.
Decoy. Our decoy is Turd.
The thing is, though, like, you're planning for an event that has never occurred, which is you having a child.
Right.
So, like, this argument is going to happen constantly until the baby's born, and then you look at the baby, and then both of you are like, oh, this is Andrew. And, you know.
Right.
Like,
you think looking and naming. That's interesting, because I was going to say 7 months along.
Well, they come with a name tag, but you just don't know until they come out.
There's
right.
a euphoria that takes over you, like, ah, we did it. We got it out. You know, name this baby anything.
We got it out? This is where that 51% comes in.
It's.
I don't know. This is a weird one where I'm like totally feel like I'm very like fair, compromise, all of that. But I feel like if you've had a torturous 9 months of like physical grueling, that
right.
like that.
Some pregnancies are smooth. Some not
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I just feel like
if
maybe...
you had a rough one.
But my thing is in a couple, in a relationship, practically. If he comes to that conclusion, that's fine, but you can't come to that conclusion for him.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Otherwise, there'll be a little, or maybe not resentment, but at least a little bit of turmoil of like, oh, well, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I guess my advice to both of them is just grow up.
Hey, be adults. Is this a teen, is this a 16 and pregnant story?
Also, if your baby really is a bastard, then I guess the whole relationship
yeah.
is...
Exactly. If it's literally a bastard,
bizarre.
Then are you married?
Because
that matters
yeah, no,
in naming a baby.
It's my husband, she says. So
okay, so they're married.
So,
it's a figure.
Oh, it's not
writing...
his kid.
Oh, then he has no say.
Everything.
Bring in the suitor.
This is like a word problem of math.
It is. Yeah. If baby leaves uterus at 8 o'clock and arrives in the.
Wait, doesn't he get every say now though? Because he's like, I'm gonna raise this kid that's not mine. I get to name him.
Interesting.
Megatron.
I have an idea.
Megatron Kolsky.
Let's go around and say what the baby's name should be.
Okay.
We're going to help.
Yes.
It's got to be unisex because we don't know, okay?
Yes. It could be. Well, we'll assume it's a boy, but maybe not.
Why would we?
Because bastard, but she wasn't using that literally. So.
Bastardess?
You're right. All right, let's go around.
Haas?
Emerson.
Works for both.
Bruce.
Works for both.
Closet.
Works for nothing. I'm going to go with tonic.
Works for a horse, but not a human. Well,
closet is very beautiful if you're like Claudette, but it's closet.
Closet. Well, if you're pronouncing it closet, you need some sort of accent on
I pronounce
one of those letters. Closet.
All right. Well, I think we solved a lot of people's
A tutelo closet.
A tutelo closet.
We solved all those goddamn problems. But we have some questions now for our special guest today.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. A little number we call six sections.
These are six rapid-fire sex questions. Answer as quickly as you can. Starting now.
Ebert, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
What's the sexiest animal?
A bee.
Who's your number one celebrity crush?
Alison Brie.
What's the best song to have sex to?
Skinny Love by Bon Iver.
Oh, shit. Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
A bed.
And lastly, what's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Humanity.
Ooh.
This has been Six Sections with David Ebert. Thanks
couple
for tuning in.
Couple of follow-ups. A bee.
That was the music that
yeah.
was playing.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
the bumblebee.
Yeah,
got right up in your brain.
Yeah,
that's
got it right. Because I'm scared of bees. But if you think about it, you know, it's part of the sexual analogy of birds and bees. There's the whole stinger thing. There's
oh,
the whole
yes.
flowers thing. They
pollinate things.
Yeah, there's a lot of sexuality
the
attached
queen
to bees.
Bee.
Honey.
Queen bee, honey.
Hives.
Larva. Is that a bee thing?
Pupa.
Larva, yeah.
I think so.
I think bees are sexy because they're really cool and interesting.
Yes, they are.
They are.
Also,
they
it's
are.
Hard to. I think it's a good one to have because it's you can fantasize about it and you can romanticize a bee, but it's hard to literally imagine fucking a bee. I think when you get into primates is when
bees
you start
can't
to
consent.
Yeah, I mean that's for an tabled for another time
oh,
if they
yeah.
can or they cannot.
But bees can communicate, so there is actually the potential of consent.
Yes.
Well, they can communicate with one another.
But they can, yeah, so since they have the ability to communicate, they have a language, even if it's with each other.
Yeah, I think you're like putting them down by saying they can't consent, because if that just
yeah.
means they're all just promiscuous. They're just fucking anything. They can't say what they like and what they don't like.
I think you could hurt a bee if you tried to fuck it because of the size.
Or hurt yourself
well,
because of the stinger.
Let me toss this out there. There is a Japanese bee that can attack larger insects by cooking them, by covering their
I saw that.
And vibrating.
They flap their wings.
They
and
flap
they
their
met.
Wings and vibrate.
Yeah.
So if a bunch of those bees climbed up on your dick.
Flap those wings.
And melted your dick?
No, like, you know, like whatever one step under melting your dick is.
What?
Like, it's called, they just, like, buzzed your dick.
Like, it's a fuck sleeve.
It's a buzz job. A fuck sleeve.
Yeah.
All right. I'm into that.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're coming around.
But I think that we're under agreement that there's no way to have sex with one bee. It has
also,
to be a bee orgy.
Really quick, let me just float this out there. You would kill a bee. You wouldn't fuck a bee. That says something about our society and how we treat violence and sensuality.
I see the jump you're making, but I think that's a logistical situation.
Sure.
Wow, yeah.
Sure.
Do you think that you're not allowed to kill any animal ever?
No, I kill cockroaches.
But how come they can't give consent for their own death?
What about for their own love?
So how come we can
kill
animals?
Because they're on my fucking
sex?
Property, so I shoot them in the face.
Yeah, so Texas.
All right, so if a horse wanders out of my property, I could fuck that horse.
What about a cow? Eat a cow, wouldn't fuck a cow.
Yeah. There's a lot of
I'd fuck
hypocrisy.
A hamburger before I fucked a cow.
Wait, what was that?
I'd fuck a hamburger before I fucked
not
a cow.
Not a cheeseburger?
I mean, yeah.
Put a little cheese on that. I mean, no one's eating a hamburger.
Oh, jeez. Allison Brie, speaking of cheese.
Speaking of cheese, she does love cheddar.
Well, Brie's a cheese. That's a jump I was trying to make.
I lost it and dove into something strange. For no reason at all.
I like where you're going.
I was on a motion picture with her recently. She was a delightful human being.
She's a nice lady, right?
Oh. Yep, she's great.
You know what it is? It's that I never dated a brunette in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah. Skipped them. I don't know.
Just blondes or like redheads?
Blondes and redheads.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Any bald ladies?
Anyone with no hair at all?
No.
Anyone with alopecia?
I had to think about it.
Galopecia? Well, I did two puns in the show. I'm done.
I like it. Cool.
Yeah, so the brunette is
the exotic fruit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, she's cute, she's funny, and she's very attractive.
Very attractive, yes.
So you want to do her in a bed with a bee, listen to some Bon Iver.
Yeah.
Bon Iver.
Boner Bear.
Yeah, also the bed makes total sense. I've always, it's like, I think people try to maybe be hot shots and be like, yeah, just in like a, you know, hot tub party
That's
style. But
disgusting.
The bed's the most practical. Oh, yeah, I also feel
hot
that.
Sex in a hot tub is atrocious.
You don't
to
want
me.
Your bacteria genitals
Yeah, and I just
around.
Picture that, like, what I end up doing is just jamming hot tub water up into my partner's vagina.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty thinking of that.
No, the only thing I'm jamming up in my partner's vagina is coffee grounds from your local grocer.
Said it would kill the baby.
That's our plan, little turd Kolsky. You'll never see the light of day.
Oh, jeez.
Unless you live in Texas.
Poor turd.
All right, well, that was a great PC.
What's another PC?
I don't know. Let's chat about it in our PC Spotlight.
Our power couple of the week.
You know it. A quantity representing the amount of water vapor in the atmosphere.
And you know it. The season that comes between spring and fall. We're talking humidity.
And summer. So, Eber, what we do here is we try to figure out what two things go great together. And summer and humidity are
New York City summers specifically have been real
wet the last, since I've moved here at least.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they go great together. They're just together.
They're together.
Gross.
Yeah, no matter what, through thick and thin.
Are you a summer man?
You know what? If I could be a little more philosophical,
please,
like go beyond this. I think that people should be where they're at. You know, like where you are in your life. Be the age you are. Be where you're. Don't be afraid. Don't be like FOMO style. Like if you're missing out, don't like be like, oh, I gotta cling to something that's not there. So
love that.
I like the season that I'm in.
Be the ball.
I do. I really do feel that way.
Yeah.
So I'm loving summer right now. But
you're eating mushrooms. You like butts. It's summer.
It's a summer salad.
You're going with the flow.
Isn't life so much better if you're just cool with things?
If you sit and complain and figure about every little situation. I completely agree with that.
Don't swim against the current. Surf the wave.
Don't be a no salmon.
There's something like that in Amy Poehler's book, and it was smart.
Yes.
I didn't miss it.
It is philosophical.
It was good.
It's true. I think that's totally right. I think that there's just... For my own physicality, personally, there's no way to deny when summer comes around being a sweaty bastard. Just, you know, but I think it's giving into it, like you said, which I think is fun to do. I think you take a shower, you go outside, you start to sweat. At first, you're like, oh, man, I don't. maybe like, can I get an air conditioner? Can I get like a, should I not? But one, the moment you just say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm giving into it. I'm just going to be sweaty.
Right.
It's freeing. It feels good.
Because you're being what you are.
What you are in that moment.
Because if you try to be the thing that you can't be at the moment, a not sweaty guy.
You'll never feel good.
Yeah. And if
you'll
you're
sweat
embarrassed,
more
you're like, oh,
yep.
sweat I got to cover up. Yeah.
Do you guys know about the moisture triangle?
No. Is this the like a Bermuda Triangle?
No. It's when people sit and they're sweaty and then they get up and there's a little sweat triangle on their chair.
Oh, yeah.
I took a photo of one that a nice lady left next to me on the train yesterday.
I mean, like, she couldn't not leave it, you know? She can't be like, oh, I'm so sorry, and take it with her.
You don't stand up and wipe off
You know what
subway.
I used to do, though? I used to scoot like this off the edge so I'd wipe it up with my pants. Well, because leaving a puddle is unsavory.
Yeah.
Depends on who. Well, wait, who told us a story? Did you tell me this story?
I don't know.
Somebody, that similar thing happened. A young lady stood up, and a pervert came over and sniffed.
Yeah. Oh.
The fucking pool of...
No, that's Brian. My friend saw that.
Yes, I remember hearing this story.
He put his finger through the puddle and held up to his nose and sniffed it and then sat in it.
Whew.
Wow.
That's the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, that's celebrating the season.
Yes, it is. Summer!
That's a guy who's cool with summer.
Yes, that is a summer
man. A little
man.
Too cool for my money.
I was once on the train and I saw the same sort of triangle, but it was... This is really unsavory.
Please.
It was period blood.
Mm.
And it's the same.
Somebody menstruated.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
and
sniffed
so
it.
I went on the train, and I see the empty bench, and I see what it is, and my mind searches for what makes that shape and what the thing was, and it lands on it, and I go like, oh, my God. Oh, that's okay. That's from up here. Okay. Wow. And then I sat down, and then I got to see for like 10 stops every human being.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction.
The same thing.
Yeah.
The see it. The like the Rolodex in their head,
yeah.
Adding it all up to be like, what could this possibly? And then that moment on every person's face of like,
this can only be one thing.
And it's so funny because like you could see that they were really like vocal about what like, huh, what could this be? And then once they figured out, everybody got really quiet and left.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I don't want to discuss menses with strangers on the train.
No. The Alfred Hitchcock film, Stranger on a Train.
Menses.
It's about menses.
It's about finding.
Menstruating, yeah.
Period.
Throw mama menstruating from the train. I think that, that summer, especially in New York and on a train, you're in tight quarters. Everything's just a mess. I feel like giving into it is definitely the best option. Or owning it and just being like, this is what it is. This is just what it's going to be for this time of year.
What is the best thing that you can find in this world, and it's people who are comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
When people are comfortable with themselves.
Tacos.
You two are very comfortable with yourselves. Okay. All right. The second best thing you can have is people that are comfortable
tacos,
with themselves.
Tacos, comfortable. People who are comfortable with themselves.
I would much rather be in a room full of tacos than people that are comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
But you guys are very comfortable with yourselves, and people like to hang out with you. They like to be around you.
It's when you make things awkward because everyone has their flaws. So I think it's the problem when people focus too much on, oh, man, this is like a shitty thing or this is this. Then everyone starts to second guess what their situation is. I think it's just giving off kind of a vibe
right.
of like, we're all fucking human beings or horses. And we just, you know, we sweat. We get around.
You snuck horses in there, didn't you?
I don't know what I said.
But it's getting up and going, oh, shit, sorry, I got my period on that seat. And getting off the train, not going, oh, my God, I hate myself.
Yeah.
Like jumping in front of the train.
Yeah, I just read this book by John Ronstadt that was, I think it's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And it's just a book about shame in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if we were able to suspend unnecessary shame, because, like, you know, if you, like, do something really terrible, like you're drunk and you kill a kid with your car, that's shameful. If you are sweaty on the train, let's all save the shame for the things we should be ashamed about.
Yes.
Right.
Killing someone, drinking and driving.
Or you don't know a lot about a vagina, like the biology of it.
Precisely.
That's shameful.
Oh, okay.
That's the one thing, Haas, that is unacceptable.
Well, you know what? Like, let the shame be just enough to motivate you to Wikipedia search it and then let it go.
Yes, exactly.
Or, like, call the family and apologize for
yep.
running their kid over. Like, let it catapult you forward into being your best self.
And you know what? I'm reminded of a scene that I know that we both enjoy very much because it's the one tiny shred of humanity in the film Billy Madison and 50 Shades of Grey. But the piss in the pants thing. I think it's the thing is if you are comfortable and own what you, which is like you're saying, like I think with a couple, there is that thing of like, yeah, we'll fucking celebrate each other. We're doing our thing. But it takes another person to, for those who haven't seen the film, Billy Madison, when the kid pisses his pants and the grown man, played by Adam Sandler.
Ernie.
Pretends to just splashes water on his pants and says like, hey man, pissing the pants is cool. This is a cool thing. And then the amazing Miles Davis line from the older lady. Mm-hmm. But that thing of like, yeah, it shit happens. Like we've all been there. So when you feel ashamed, if you just celebrate it and embrace it, it's more of like a, yeah, I pissed my pants.
Well, and I think a good point you bring up is being the person who celebrates other people. Like, well, everyone will like love that.
Yeah.
Like if you go in and you're like, say something really positive about something that you know someone's insecure about, it just like makes them blossom rather than wither, you know? It's like, let's all do that for each other.
Yeah, I think that when we notice something unusual, there's a natural inclination that we have to take a crap on it.
Yep.
You know, like, it'd be like, oh, I love the way that like all the girls are shaving the side of their head. Looks dumb. What if you like are just take note of it, but are cool with it? Be like, girls are shaving the side of their heads. So fucking metal. Cool.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Wow. How great. I think this with commercials all the time because we do a lot of commercial stuff.
Yep.
There's so many commercials that end with a wife being like, you're kind of dumb to the husband that could just as easily be like, cool, I'm into this thing you're doing. And the commercial's the same.
It is the same.
You ate 40 Hot Pockets? It's boner.
Hot Pocket. Times 40.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, but no, you're right. And also this, it's that thing of like what we talked about earlier with relationships of like, yeah, like the wife's on my case or like the such. It's like, just what if you tried to sell a product based on here's some cool people who are doing something cool? I think you'd probably still sell some products.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shout out Scrubbin' Bubbles right now.
Scrubbin' Bubbles is doing it.
Scrubbin' Bubbles. Did you see this commercial
No.
with the lightning bolt? Okay, this husband, I think about this as the highlight of what a commercial should be. It's for scrubbing bubbles, which is cleaning a tub.
Right.
The husband comes in, and he has shaved a lightning bolt into his chest. The wife looks at it, gives him this like kind of weird look, and she goes, oh, awesome. And that's it.
And that's the
commercial. That's it. It's just like, yeah, we'll clean your pubes out of the tub, scrubbing bubbles.
Yes, that lightning bolt worth of pubes. No, I know. It's great. I'm trying to think. I just had one flash in my mind that we saw recently. I think we were like, yeah, that's, but they're rare. It was a similar situation of like, instead of, it was so easy and we've seen so many times the wife nagging, but it was more like the wife said something and then it was like, yeah, here's a Burger King. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but
Burger
showing
King,
like a PC, like when, like the husband and wife work together in commercials or TV shows or when they, basically, when you go against what everyone is expecting, which is just the wife to be like, oh, great. Now
and the
I
husband
have
to be
clean.
Hiding something in some way. And it's like, if you want to hide this.
Yep.
If you have an antagonistic relationship in a commercial, you're left with an antagonistic feeling towards the product.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to go down this Don Draper road.
That's where we are right now.
But you know what they're doing to manipulate you is they're saying that you're like lame if you don't get it, which is a different kind of.
They are using
fear,
shame.
Mm-hmm. Shame.
And
I think that you can motivate people to use a product without having to. I think you can motivate people in general without shaming them into it. There are other motivators.
Yeah.
Pride.
Yo, positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement.
You ever train a dog?
Is it on sale?
Add people.
You ever train a dog?
Positive reinforcement. Also, it stands out, I think, just really quick among the shows that they air these commercials. So maybe you're watching a show, you're watching a sitcom, you're watching whatever procedural thing, and they have all these tropes and these cliches and whatever. And then a commercial comes on and it stands out against that. That to me is more like, mind's numb, you're watching the show, da da da, and then you see something, you're like, oh shit, that stood out more as, I don't know, I mean, that's why these shows exist, right? To have time to sell the ad space. I mean, and sometimes the shows can be great too, but.
Yeah, this is a tangent, but I really like it because I think gender roles in advertising is really interesting. And it really is annoying that every time, 99% of the time, the wife is like,
I think
so shitty.
The last group of people to come crawling over to civilization is advertising.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're the ones that are like, 10 years after it's cool, we can't have a gay couple. We can't have an interracial couple.
Yep.
You know, we don't want to stir up those sorts of things. And then,
remember the Cheerios thing with the interracial, as if that was the like a breaking through a wall? That was only 2 years ago.
That was in 2013, and Cheerios, which, by the way, the same brand that used Nelly as its spokesperson and made like a very blatantly kind of racist bee.
Yep. Yep.
Had an interracial couple in a commercial, and we were all like, wow, how forward-thinking. I was like, no, this is forward-thinking, like, 100
yeah.
years
this
ago.
This is reactionary thinking, from, like, late, delayed thinking, yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Urban B.
The Urban B.
The Urban B.
Mary Lourdes wrote a great sketch for Alamo.
Yeah.
For that. Talk about odd nights past. Pour one out.
Well, you seem to have a lot of opinions. We'd like to see you in action.
Great.
Yo, there's a little something called virtual sugar. Where we take a real OkCupid profile. That segue was strange because it was like it went into it, but it was also it was a cliffhanger. I don't know what it was totally, but what are we doing here?
We found pretend you're single for a moment. You're an actor. It should be okay for you. We found you a perfect OkCupid profile. We're going to take you on a date.
Actors can pretend to be things they're not.
I'm just going to start with a scene with, like, let me ask my wife.
Okay. The old ball and chain's out in the Toyota. Got to run it by her. No, we found you a nice lady named Fiesta Franny, and I'll be playing your date. So we're going to improvise.
Diana's going to be your date. We pulled everything we know about you into the OkCupid box. And we found out Fiesta Franny was a great match for you.
Crunch the algorithms.
First name Fiesta, last name Franny?
I don't know. Why you ask her on your date?
Oh, great.
Ooh. Where are they going?
They're going to a singles cruise ship. So you're on a cruise for singles. So you're looking to meet somebody. And I will play any ancillary characters that may or may not come up.
All right, ready?
Let's go on this date. Begins now.
Hello.
Hi, Fiesta?
It's actually Franny.
I'm sorry, I couldn't tell from the profile if your first name is Fiesta. Franny, that's a beautiful name.
And what's your name?
My name is David.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you.
Hey, it's great to meet you. You look even more beautiful than your profile
pictures.
Oh,
thank you so much. Sorry about the eye patch. I had a little incident this morning.
Oh, that's not like a thing you usually wear? Because it's in all the pictures.
Oh, no. I'm just a real klutz, you know? I was flipping an egg, and I just flipped it right into my eye.
Oh, wow.
Happens to me a couple times a week.
I think it makes you look tough.
Oh, thanks. I hope I don't get a weird tan line.
Can I be real with you?
Yeah.
You might.
Right.
Hey, kiddos. We got a shuffleboard tournament going on later tonight. It's couples only. If you guys want to enter the shuffleboard tournament, it goes on in the lower deck. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you.
Great.
Great. Thanks.
Just as a heads up, I'm running a little wagering, a little ring of, people want to wager on shuffleboard.
Is there a gambling situation?
Well, look,
downstairs?
Here's the thing. I need you two to join. I need you to take a dive. I need you to lose the shuffleboard tournament because you're the favorites. They said, old muscles and eye patch, they look pretty fit. Look like they could win shuffleboard. A lot of elderly people on this cruise.
Your muscles do look old.
Well, they're old muscles, and eye patch makes anybody look. It ages you 10 years, they say. An eye patch, it's like a camera adds to 10 pounds
that
10 years.
Hey, wait a second. Are you insulting Franny?
Look, all I'm saying is somebody with one eye, the depth perception for shuffleboard's a little off.
So why are we the favorites to win?
Because everybody else on this cruise is 90 plus years of
That's
age.
That's true. Yeah.
So you got youth on your side. And I just wanted to let you know that you're the favorites early on, and I want you to take a dive.
What's in it for us?
Shrimp cocktail till your tits fall off.
No, hold on. Shrimp cocktail till your tits fall off was on the brochure. That's part of the cruise.
All right, you got me.
My tits already fell off this morning.
You're
I flipped bacon and it hit me in the tits.
That bacon fat burned your tits off, didn't it?
What? Could you please leave us alone? We'll think about
it. Sure, I'll be over here next to the fountain.
Look, I have two eye patches where my breasts used to be.
It just looks like a bikini.
Arr, come aboard the ship. Looking for some pirate titties. I couldn't help but see through my periscope. Your tits have got some, you know, eye patches on them.
Hey, buddy, she's on a date with me right now.
Okay, matey.
I like your eye patch. Where'd you get it?
I got it from James Way. It's a department store for pirates.
Oh, cool.
In the greater northeast area. I think there's only a few of them left. Walmart ran us out.
Oh, I'm going to look online.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to me boat.
Can I come?
Take care of those pirate tits. Oh, well, oh, land ho.
Wait a second. You, Franny, I,
Yeah?
If you want to go with this guy, you should, but I just feel like we didn't get a chance. I feel like we just started talking, and then people came up to us and started just tossing out some wild offers, you know? Like, the kind of offers you don't get on a normal day in life, and then all of a sudden it's this grandiose, take a dive,
honestly,
go to the ship.
You have old muscles, and you talk a lot. Best of luck to you.
So those are bad things.
Arr.
Wow.
Oh,
dude, you blew it.
It spiraled that date.
I gotta say,
there was a lot going on that date.
I feel like that is my fault. I feel like I did blow it.
Are you kidding?
No,
I mean, a bookie and a pirate approach you on a first date.
Man, I should have told him to buzz off right away. I should have been more assertive. I should have fought for Franny.
I mean, I don't know. She seemed kind of like damaged goods to me.
Yeah, but aren't we all?
Physically.
Yeah, and wouldn't you want to just... We all are a little damaged. Don't be ashamed if you have to peel eye patches back to get to your nipples.
Not at all. Yeah. I was just trying to be optimistic about your...
Didn't make
a love connection.
The end game wasn't necessarily to take Franny back to my cabin and fuck her eye patch covered body.
Right.
But... It was to, I mean, a person like her is very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A connection, at least a connection.
Just some stories. I didn't even find out where she was from. I didn't find out why the Fiesta was in her name. I didn't know anything about Franny, and she was gone.
Fiesta was her middle name, actually.
See, I had to find this out after the fact.
It's too late for that now.
I want her to tell me.
Well,
it was a very shallow date.
You needed to be friends first, I think.
We didn't, you know, and that's the problem with OkCupid is that you're meeting constantly under this.
Under the guise of, nobody knows anybody on OkCupid.
You know what? I kind of got this feeling that you don't really need OkCupid and stuff. All you need to do is be open, be sociable, and don't be a shitbag as a person.
Mm.
And you can meet people that way.
Yeah.
But if you're a shitbag as a person, it's really hard to meet people because you're like, because there's a comedian I heard say that all dating is collecting facts about a person till you decide you don't want to hang out with them anymore.
Mm.
Right.
So...
That's rough.
If you're just like cooler about stuff as we keep talking about,
yep.
You could just spend time with them.
Be open.
And be open.
Be
open. Yeah. You're not like, they prefer Star Trek over Star Wars. Well, deal breaker. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so rare that if you narrow the field to such a degree where you're looking for that perfect person, you'll never find those beautiful breasts beneath those eye patches.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, Star Trek, eye patch tits.
I'm a Star Trek on that front.
Well, we're getting a divorce.
Whoa!
I loved that little pun.
When you pretended to divorce me, it made me sad.
I know. You know what else makes me sad?
What?
Having to say goodbye to David Charles Ebert.
Oh, no. Our listeners don't have to say goodbye. They can spy Ebert on his website, davidcharlesebert.com.
You can also watch him be funny on his brand new MTV show, Not Exactly News. Tonight, when this episode drops, you'll listen to it. Go to
11:30 p.m. on MTV2. If you don't have MTV2, you can download the app and watch it live.
Cool.
Beautiful.
I can't wait to do that. And please follow him on Twitter. This is ironic. His Twitter is @horsedivorce.
That's a real thing. It just came up with some horsies.
Nadia said goodbye.
He's so funny. Follow him, Nadia, please. Maybe you two will hit it off.
We'd also like to thank our producer, Bam Ham. That's Ben Osley.
Also our mama, UCB Comedy. Thank you so much for hosting us.
Guys, email us at menageatrois.radio@gmail.com and check us out online at menageatrois.radio.com.
Tweet at us at Menage Radio.
Tweet at us. Goodbye.
Goodbye, we love.
So ovaries are kind of like female testicles.
Duh.
Yes. Is learning things.
This is really interesting. Yeah, write in if you want to explain like how the vagina works. Please email us because I need more info on that.
Please, horse ovaries.
I heard horses had like 10 ovaries.
Ooh. Nadia says, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Pegasus, let me make love to you.
Ménage à Trois is recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Ménage à Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.